morning. We read from Nehemiah 4 this morning. It's about opposition to the rebuilding of the walls. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the walls, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What they are building, even a fox climbing up would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonite, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs of Jerusalem walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and we posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's much rubble, so we cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemy said, "Before they know it or see us, we'll be right there among them and kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near to them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did work with one hand and held a weapon in the other, and each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us." So we continued the work with half the men holding spears from the first light of dawn until the stars came out. At that time, I said to the people, "Let every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night so that they can serve us as guards by night and as workers by day. Neither I, nor my brothers, nor my men, nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water." We move to Nehemiah 6, verses 15 and 16. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. And when our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Praise be to God.
Thank you, Peter. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've got things to speak to us and to teach us this morning. And we pray that you would speak now by your Holy Spirit. Amen. So, today we return to our series on Nehemiah, having taken a break for Pentecost. So I thought we might need a little reminder of the story so far. It's the year 445 BC, and Nehemiah has been sent into exile in Persia, in the city of Susa. And he has an important job there. He is the cupbearer to the king. He heard the news of Jerusalem, which devastated him. Jerusalem is in ruins. The walls are broken down. He asked permission from the king to return to Jerusalem and set up a building project to be able to rebuild. And the king gave him permission and authorization to do this. So he returned, he did a survey, and in chapter 3, the people started the building. If you remember, we talked about each person doing their own part of the walls near their own homes, all working together to start the building project. So, this was not going to be an easy job. And today, we'll be looking at some of the opposition which Nehemiah faced and how he handled it. Sanballat and Tobiah, important governors in Samaria and in the area around Jerusalem, were not very happy that the walls were going to be rebuilt. In fact, they were very disturbed, it tells us, that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. If Jerusalem became stronger, it would affect their power and influence in the area, and it would also make trade routes more difficult for them. So they felt like they had a lot to lose by Jerusalem being built up and the people of Israel becoming stronger again. They didn't want to see the people of God rebuilding. They started off by mocking Nehemiah. And in chapter 4, as the work starts to progress, we see that the opposition gets worse. There's a lesson here for us today. We have to recognize that any work which we do for God and for the building of his kingdom is likely to face opposition. We might face physical opposition from people around us. They might laugh at us. They might make fun of us. They might kind of back off from us because they don't want to hear about that God stuff. We'll also face spiritual opposition, as there is an enemy, Satan, who loves to confuse and deceive and terrify us sometimes so that we'll give up on God's work, give up on sharing good news for people around us. I wonder what kind of opposition you might have come across when you've been serving God. And I wonder how you responded to that opposition. As a church and as individuals, as we listen to God, seek his face and seek his vision for the way forward and for the rebuilding that's going to be done after this pandemic, we may well face opposition. Being aware of this is already a big step towards being able to stand against it. Nehemiah has a lot to teach us about standing against adversity. In the book of Nehemiah, there's one thing which really stands out and had a huge impact on how Nehemiah faced opposition. Nehemiah is aware and convinced that this work of rebuilding is not his work, but it's God's work. And that makes all the difference. It says that he knew from the beginning that the gracious hand of his God was upon him and that God had put this project on his heart. He told the opposition that it was the God of heaven who will give us success. How does the fact that this is God's work make a difference in the work of Nehemiah and in our own lives and our own work, which we're called to as we serve Jesus? Just because the work is God's work doesn't mean that it will be easy or run smoothly. Look at the example of Jesus. He was doing God's work, and it cost him everything, even to death on a cross. He warned us that when we follow him, we too will face opposition. He said, "Blessed are you when men persecute you and say all kinds of evil about you." That doesn't mean that the difficulties, all the difficulties that we face, are spiritual opposition. We need to be careful and ask God for discernment. Is this difficulty we're facing, is this God closing doors because he's trying to lead us in another direction? Is this difficulty because we're not being very smart in the way that we're doing God's work and we're just really annoying lots of people around us? Or is this spiritual opposition? We need to take time to pray and to listen and to ask other people to be praying with us so that we know what God is calling us to do. In this case, Nehemiah knew clearly that this was God's work, that God had called him and opened up the doors ahead of him, and he was there because of God. We can see that this gave him focus and strength. For us too, when we know that God has called us, then it's easier to cope with all the difficulties. Many times when we were in Africa and facing difficult situations like rioting and looting in the capital city or an Ebola epidemic in our region, then I had to stop and remind myself, I know that this is where God has called me to be. I know that if he has called me, then he is the one who will equip me and strengthen me and use me somehow. And he did. And this isn't true just for big situations like that, but even for the smaller situations in our lives. If the work is God's work, then he will resource us and equip us and strengthen us with his strength, not our own. So, back to the story. We see that for Nehemiah, as he faced opposition, prayer was absolutely essential. If this work is God's work and we are relying on God, then without him, the work can't happen. Prayer was the first thing that Nehemiah did when he heard the news of Jerusalem in ruins back in chapter 1. And it's the first thing that he does when he faces opposition. I love how his prayers are scattered throughout this book. If you read Nehemiah, you see there'll be a little bit of narrative and then a prayer, a little bit of narrative and then a prayer. Nehemiah knows that he needs to turn to God in prayer. So the first form of opposition the people of Israel face in chapter 4 is ridicule and taunting in an attempt to discourage and undermine them. Sambalat said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from the heaps of rubble?" All of these are questions which have some element of truth in them. 75 years before this, the Jews had started an attempt to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and it had failed. They hadn't managed to do it. It was a massive task. The enemy reminds them of their weakness and the difficulty of the task, and makes fun of the quality of their work. What are they building? If even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their wall of stones. Don't we sometimes hear the enemy whispering to us? Oh, they've tried that before. What makes you think you can do it now? Or, surely you don't think you can do that. You're not young enough, old enough, clever enough, good enough, whatever it may be. There are many ways that Nehemiah could have responded. He could have become very defensive and shouted back at the enemy, traded a few insults. He could have become very discouraged, listening to all the negative things they said, and decided it was time to give up, or at least to have a break and have a rethink. But he didn't do anything like that. Instead, he prayed. He was going to take the insults and the upset and the opposition to God. This was God's work, after all, which Sanballat and Tobiah were mocking. We see his prayer in verse 4 and 5. Hear us, O our God. He hands the situation over to God and leaves it with him to bring about justice. He brings his anger and hurt to God. He prays in a very Old Testament way that God will not cover up his enemies' guilt or blot out their sins because they're standing against God's work. In the light of Jesus' teaching, we would probably pray in a different way, but we too can bring our hurt, anger, or disappointment to God and leave the situation with God for him to bring about his loving justice. I love the change in the situation after Nehemiah's prayer. The situation itself doesn't change. I'm sure they're still mocking and taunting. But the next verse tells us, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. Their response to taunts and mocking, rather than being discouraged and giving up, was to keep on keeping on with God's work and working even harder till they completed all of the wall to half of its height. Then the opposition moved up a step. The taunts and insults moved to a plot to fight against Jerusalem. But again, because Nehemiah knew that the work was God's work, then he knew that God would fight for them. That didn't mean that the people could sit back and do nothing. In fact, we see the opposite. They post guards and they're ready to fight. But they know that God is on their side. And ultimately, they and we can lean on him, rely on him, and not on our own strength. This is summed up in verse 9. There were threats of violence, and the response was this. We prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Prayer was essential. The work was God's, and they had to rely on God. They couldn't do it without him. But following on from the prayer, they posted guards. They knew they had to be vigilant and work with God as he directed them. For us, in our lives and ministry, we need to be vigilant too. In the New Testament, Peter tells us that we need to be alert and watch out because our enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Nehemiah prayed and he understood the nature of the attack and where it was coming from, and he positioned people accordingly. We need to do the same. As an example, at one point in our last church, we suddenly realized that one tactic that the enemy was using was to make people feel like they were the only one who was struggling. They felt like everybody else is absolutely fine and I'm really struggling, so I must be weak or not faithful or something. We spoke to 5 or 6 people who all told us the same thing. Part of standing guard against this meant speaking about it to each other, helping each other realize that lots of people were feeling the same way and were believing lies which the enemy was putting in their minds rather than God's truths. As we prayed into that situation together, it made a huge difference to people and meant that rather than being distracted, we could move forward with doing God's work, knowing that each of us is weak, but loved by God and working in His strength. We needed the helmet of salvation to guard our minds from the lies of the enemy, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to remind us of what God's truths are. Back to the story. We see in this passage that one of the main weapons used by the enemy was fear. The enemy threatened that wherever the people of Israel turned, they would attack them. Sanballat brought out his army with them, and the enemies came from different directions. This fear was made worse by the fact that the people were exhausted. They'd been working really, really hard trying to do this rebuilding, and they were overwhelmed with the amount of rubble that there was to clear away. It was hard work. But Nehemiah's response was to get the people to step back and see the bigger picture. He reminded them of who God is and what He's like. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, he said. Then he got them to remember who they were fighting for, their families and their homes. Especially when we're tired, it can be easy to just lose focus on the good things that have been done, on the progress that has already been made, and to just focus on the difficulties and the ways that we feel like we're not doing very well. Sometimes we too need to step back and remember this great and awesome God that we serve. Remember that He is good. Remember that He is for us and He loves us. His kingdom work has eternal consequences. Don't be afraid of them, says Nehemiah. Are there things which we're afraid of, which stop us from stepping out into things that God's calling us to do, or stop us from really feeling those passions that God's putting on our hearts? In the light of who God is, the people of Israel don't need to fear the enemy, and nor do we. Our God is greater. As Paul says to us in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, then who can stand against us? Just one more tactic now that helped Nehemiah and the people to stand against the enemy. Knowing that this was God's work, the people all worked together. We're shown a striking picture here of each person playing their part. Half of the people continue with the building. The other half are standing behind them with their weapons, protecting them. They've got each other's backs. Each part is crucial. The builders wouldn't be able to continue building without the protection behind them. If there were only people with weapons protecting, then the building wouldn't get done. Each one is essential. And for us too, each one is essential. Because the work is God's work, then we don't do it alone. We're part of a family, a local family, which is the church here in Newbury, the whole church here in Newbury, and a worldwide family. We've got different gifts and abilities, and we need to have each other's backs as we do God's work. Let's encourage each other. Let's look out for each other, protect each other, pray for each other as we serve God in different ways, at church, in the workplace, in our families, in our local community. This picture really reminded me actually of Alpha. And one thing I love about Alpha is that everybody comes to bring their part. At the moment, we can't do the cooking and the other things, but usually there's people making meals, there's people welcoming, there's people leading the small groups and chatting with people. And there in the background, not seen very much, or the prayer team. And we always have a prayer team to support Alpha. And I feel like the people on the prayer team are those people who are standing there with their weapons to make sure that everybody's covered and protected so the work can continue. Chapter 6 shows us other ways, more subtle and devious and personal ways that the enemy tried to oppose Nehemiah, but we haven't got time to look at that today, but I would recommend that you have a look at that yourselves and see how Nehemiah stood up to that different kind of opposition. Because the work was the Lord's, then things could be achieved that would never have been humanly possible. Israel was a nation again, and through this nation, God was going to send the Messiah, the rescuer for the whole world. We see at the end of chapter 6 that the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul, which to you and me is probably the 2nd of October, 445 BC. This was an amazing feat. From start to finish, it had taken them 52 days to rebuild the walls. 52 days of very hard work, overcoming obstacles and opposition, praying, trusting, persevering. Notice what happened when the enemies saw that the walls had been completed. It says in verse 16 of chapter 6, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. This wasn't the end of the opposition, and the people of Israel still had a long way to go on their journey to be the covenant people of God and to show God to the world. But their enemies had to recognize what Nehemiah had known from the beginning of this project. This work had been done with the help of our God. So we can learn from Nehemiah. Let's be people who pray and listen to God, who discern the tactics of the enemy and put defenses in place. Let's remind ourselves of who God is and rely on his strength, not our own. Let's work together, supporting and protecting each other and having each other's backs. And as we move forward as a part of this exciting work, God's kingdom work, then we and the enemy will see what God will accomplish in us and through us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all the lessons that we can learn from Nehemiah. We thank you that you are that same God. We thank you that this work that we are a part of is your work. And Lord, we pray that you would teach us to learn these lessons and to be looking to you and working with you. In Jesus' name, amen.